I had put that completely out of my mind. "What's that to do with not calling me?" I demanded, drawing closer. Ewing sprang up and backed away, as if frightened. I turned to Keech, but he seemed suddenly absorbed in his work. "Something else has happened, hasn't it?" I said, more and more apprehensive. "What is it?"
"It's the captain, miss," Keech began.
"Charlotte!" I broke in angrily. Keech drew a hand across his mouth as if to stop it. "What has happened?" I persisted. "Are you going to tell me or not? Is it some secret?" Ewing licked his lips. Keech seemed to be avoiding my eyes. But it was he who said,
"The captain told us, when we was committing Hollybrass to the sea, that—"
Now his darting eyes flicked toward me, then away.
"It was you that murdered him."
My breath all but failed. "Me?" I managed to get out.
"Aye, you."
"Who could believe such a thing?" I exclaimed. "How? Why?"
"To avenge Zachariah's death," Ewing whispered.
I stood there, open-mouthed. "But Zachariah—" I began, not even sure what I was about to say. The former second mate looked around at me, his eyes narrowed.
"What about Zachariah?" he asked, standing up.
"He's dead," I said lamely.
"He's all of that,"
Ewing agreed. Keech began to move away quickly. Ewing started to follow. I grabbed his arm. "Ewing," I said, "do you think I did it?" He shook his arm free.
"Captain says that dirk was yours."
"Ewing, I left that dirk in my old cabin."
"That's what Captain said you'd say."
I took in his meaning. "You believe him, don't you?" He studied his hand. "And the others?" I wanted to know.
"You'll have to ask them."
Deeply shaken, I started for the galley in search of Fisk, but changed my mind. It was Captain Jaggery I had to see. I turned and headed for his cabin, but before I had taken 5 steps, I was confronted by the captain himself coming to the quarterdeck. I stopped in surprise. The man before me was not the same Captain Andrew Jaggery I'd seen on the quarterdeck the first day we sailed. True, he still wore his fine clothes, but the jacket was soiled and showed any number of rips. A cuff was frayed, a button gone. Small points, perhaps, but not for a man of his fastidiousness. And the whip mark, though no longer so pronounced, had become a thin white line, like a persistent, painful memory.
"Miss Doyle," the captain proclaimed for all to hear, "I charge you in the willful murder of Mr. Hollybrass."
I turned to appeal to the crew, only recently my comrades, who stood looking on. "I did not do it," I said.
"Have no fear, Miss Doyle. You shall have a jury of your peers, and a speedy trial."
"It's a lie," I said.
"Mr. Barlow,"
the captain called, never for a moment turning his cold eyes from me. Barlow shuffled forward.
"Take the prisoner to the brig,"
the captain said, offering up a key that Barlow took.
"Miss Doyle, your trial for murder will commence at the first bell of the first dog watch today."
"Come along, miss," Barlow whispered. I shrank back.
"Easy, Charlotte," he went on. "I'll not do you harm."
His words reassured me somewhat, but no other words of comfort came. The central hatch cover was slid back. Barlow beckoned me to it, and under the eyes of all, he followed me down the ladder. We passed by the top cargo, where Barlow lit a lantern, then groped our way into the hold, the bottom of the ship.